All right, as I said at the outset, we're going to try something a little different this morning. Get out your phones for me. Yes, I'm encouraging you to pull out your phones in church. And for those listening at home later on, you can certainly open a web browser. And what I want you to do is go to gregfetzer.com. Gregfetzer.com, a website I have complete control over.
One G or two?
It is G-R-E-G F-E-T-Z-E-R. Okay. I like the joke, I spell it correctly. Are you there? All right, so what's there, if you can't get on there, is a picture of a little boy. I think this is maybe from the early 60s, maybe late 50s. And the little dude is made up to look like what they had in their minds as science fiction of the day, right? He's got these goofy goggles on. He's got this suit with what they thought we'd be wearing probably by 2023. And he's got a ray gun in his hand. This dude is set. Now, the thing is, he looks rather odd. But emblazoned in bold letters is the slogan, "Never let normal interfere with awesome." This dude is awesome, if not normal. Never let normal interfere with awesome. Jesus gives to us several other parables in today's reading. The first parable is the parable of the mustard seed. A familiar parable, perhaps, about the tiniest of seeds that's sown into a field and grows into a great bush where the birds can come and actually nest. Now, the thing we need to know about the type of mustard that Jesus is speaking of is that is not the cultivated mustard that we know for our condiment. In Jesus' area, in first century Palestine, the mustard bush that he's talking about was a weed. That the guy would sow it in his field, well, that's not normal. And the weed grows to a prodigious size. Now, Jesus is using some hyperbole here. It's a bush. Chances are birds are going to find somewhere else. But if they wanted to, there'd be enough room. Now, the thing about weeds, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? A weed, I think, is best defined by a plant that is where it doesn't really fit. It doesn't belong. Right? The weeds that grow in our cultivated gardens and amongst the rose bushes or the ornamental grasses we want to pluck out. I'm going to get rid of them. But if we have a cash crop on which we're basing our livelihood and rose bushes start growing up and they interfere with our harvesting, well, the rose bush is then the weed, isn't it? It's where it doesn't belong. Taking the whole field or the whole garden, the weeds are not normal. Now, last week, if you remember the parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus said the kingdom of God was like the cash crop, and the evil one came and sowed the weeds among it, causing great problems. Jesus flips the image. Now the kingdom of God is compared to what? The weed. That thing that's not normal, that doesn't quite belong where it finds purchase and grows. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a weed. And you and I know that if left unchecked, the weeds win, don't they? The weeds will grow. They will spread. They will take over everything else. And here, Jesus is saying that's a good thing. The nature of the kingdom of heaven is that it grows. It spreads. It keeps on keeping on in the harshest of conditions. And that's a good thing. For one day, the entire lawn, the entire crop, will be weeds, will be the kingdom of God. So Jesus takes that which isn't considered normal and makes it the kingdom's normality. So what do we make of this? Well, years ago, I was privileged to preach at, it's the Synod's Retreat up in North Bay. I know the one for high school students is Road Trip, a free ride. So I was privileged to preach a free ride amongst middle schoolers, those who are beginning to get their sense of identity, of learning who they really are in the midst of community, learning what it means to define oneself in the midst of that community that would seek to define you, that would impose upon you the ways that you are to be. Middle school is perhaps that one place in my life I never want to go to again. I don't know about you. I'm hard-pressed to find someone who enjoyed middle school. So I took a little bit of a different spin on this, but only a little bit different. Instead, I showed another picture. I think it was of some goofy giraffe. And similar letters said, "Weird is just my awesomeness leaking out. Weird is my awesomeness leaking out." What I said to them was that quite often you will look at your peers, you won't be the same, and you'll feel weird. But that's a good thing. That's you being who you are. And if they're not big enough to accept you for who you are, that's on them, not you. Each of us was lovingly created to be unique, to be this mixture of passions and loves and dislikes. It's what makes us who we are. So accept who we are to be fully who God intended us to be, and don't let others dictate. Don't let the normal interfere with your awesome. Understand what others see as weird is just your awesomeness coming out. So I preached at the middle schoolers, but I think that's pretty good for us too, is it not? You never really grow out of that. Most people don't. It's this idea of claiming your authentic self and presenting that to the world and often to others with whom we have a relationship. This is who I am, unapologetically. This is who God created me to be. And the interesting thing I find with that is that's the best that you can give someone else. If I can't be authentic and present my authentic self to you, I'm cheating not only myself out of my authenticity, but you as well, is what I might have to give as a unique gift. Now, this has its limits, of course, right? If my authentic self is being a jerk, I might want to think differently. But by and large, that's not the case. People want to be authentic, and they want their authenticity to be a gift for the other. Now, what does this have to do with the church? Again, if we look at the mustard seed, as an image for the kingdom of God, it's a weed that spreads. And if the birds are coming to nest in it, well, it's offering life, shelter, protection, love. The church, as envisioned by Jesus, is that weird thing that permeates through the kingdoms of this world. The world looks upon the kingdom of God and says, you know what, that's pretty weird. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's weird to love your enemies. And the world looks and says, no, you vanquish your enemies by might. Jesus says, nah, you undermine the power of your enemies by loving them. The kingdom of God says that all are included. The kingdoms of the world say, keep the weirdos out. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, of who we are, then you become like us. You keep your authenticity at the door or the gate. Right? The kingdom of God says to forgive. Maybe even before that forgiveness is asked. Kings of the world say, they bear a grudge. They need to own up to what they did. So Jesus presents for us an image of the kingdom that slowly, patiently, steadily goes about what it is made to do, to take over in a loving way. And we, called to be members of that kingdom as disciples of Jesus Christ, again, I want to say to you what I said to the middle schoolers years ago. Be who you were created to be. That's the best you. That's the you that you have to give to others. Now, this isn't the only parable. Jesus really rattles off quite a few, doesn't he? I just want to focus briefly on the next two, about the pearl, the treasure in the field. I think the baseline of what Jesus is saying there is, you know what? It's worth it. The kingdom of God is hard work, but it's all worth it. It's worth it to do the things that Jesus calls us to do, to love, to forgive, to welcome. Because if we're honest, we have the same proclivity from time to time to look at others' authentic self and want to change it to be more like us. To take away someone else's passions because, you know, that's not really who we are. But Jesus is saying to do the hard work of claiming your authentic self in service to the kingdom is so worth it. It gives life. It honors and gives glory to God. It walks alongside others in love. Years ago, I had an old Corolla, Toyota Corolla. I made it to 230,000 miles. I'm very proud. So for almost 15 years on the bumper, normally I don't like bumper sticker theology, right? It takes away the nuances of theological conversation. But this one I liked. It said, keep church weird. And it led to some conversations. People behind me at the pump, what's your sticker mean? And I would have an opportunity to say, I think the church is weird by the world's eyes because we do things like love the enemy, forgive, and welcome the outsider. Keep church weird. Because when the church is weird according to God's plan, it's awesome. The church is then the kingdom of God. Spreading this love, forgiveness, this welcome. So, be who you were created to be. Don't let normal, that is what other people define as normal, stop your awesomeness. Because we are awesome. At least in the eyes of God. And isn't that what's most important? Amen.